the name of Jesus, amen. All y'all have heard it said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Your mother told you that on your birthday when you didn't get exactly what you wanted, or at Christmas time. But she didn't make it up. It's from the Bible. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Luke records Paul as quoting Jesus saying something that none of the gospel writers record him ever saying, and yet they do record teachings that share this very same message. Teachings like we have in the gospel reading for this morning. We're encouraged to love, to bless, to give away, to lend, not just to the deserving, but also to the undeserving. Of course, if you're going to give something away, you have to have it in order to give it in the first place. I know a man who informs me every time the lottery gets big and he buys a ticket exactly how much he'll give to Holy Trinity. But what Jesus is teaching is that you are already blessed by God in great measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God's love has been put into your lap. So we as Christians are to love and to give more than anyone because you have more than anyone. We all know this intuitively, and because of all the gifts that God has given to us, we feel obligated to give more and more. And we are blessed by more than just love. We are given all of those first article gifts: clothing, shoes, food, drink, house, home, wife, children, land, animals, all that you have. And then God richly and daily provides you with all that you need to support this body in life. And with all these blessings, you are not only able, you are obligated to give according to what you have been given. But, of course, very naturally, we are pretty selective in who we give to. We need to trust the person or the organization. Not every guy or gal standing on a corner with a cardboard sign is worthy. We count and calculate and measure all of our resources before we give any of it away. So those gifts come from whatever is left over at the end of the month when everything else is taken care of. And then we call that stewardship. After all, we need to act as judge to determine whether any person or organization is worthy of our love and gifts, right? Well, instead of that, Jesus teaches us to love and to give even to our enemies. And yet, naturally, we use strict judgment and a stingier measure of generosity with those who we don't know. We might not give to any person that we think that gift will be misused, such as spent on drugs or alcohol. After all, our possessions are much too valuable for them to be wasted on that stuff, right? And it's even harder to give to our enemies or those who we don't like or those who mistreat us. We might be able to buy our friend lunch once or twice, but we likely won't give our lunch money to the bully at school. Fact is, however, we are no better than any other sinner when we give only to those who are worthy of our charity. After all, the gifts you're given by God are given to you without any merit or worthiness in you. We're now able to love and to give because we've first been loved and given good in and by Jesus. You are in a position to give love, for you were first given love and loved by God the Father, who is merciful and who is love. Even though there was no merit or worthiness in you, God gave you all of the material gifts that you need and that you have, and all of the love that comes with that. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, you were by birth spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God. And yet, even so, God gave you His enemy, not just another cheek or tunic or an amount of money. He gave you His very own Son. God has taken what seemed bad and made it good for you and for the good of your neighbor. Jesus' horrible death is your greatest gift. That world-changing event accomplishes completely everything for your salvation. This worst event and loss of life of Jesus is your greatest benefit. It's called grace. Something given to you for free without your merit. By Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection, you have been forgiven. In Christ, God promises you forgiveness even for selfishness and judgments. Nothing is won or lost by having more stuff. We are all now free of the necessity to do anything to earn eternal life or to gain anything for ourselves. What remains in this life now is not a burden or something that must be done in order to go to heaven. Everlasting life, forgiveness of sins, and salvation are the gifts that you have been given. And now you have the opportunity to love your neighbor and show them that love that you have in Christ Jesus. Right now it's time for you to take stock, to measure who you are in Christ. What you have or what you do not have does not change who you are or what you are worth in Christ. It doesn't matter whether you live or die with nothing more to your name than the change in your pocket, or if you have the proceeds of the lottery and possess millions of dollars. Your salvation is already accomplished. That salvation is a present possession. As a baptized child of God, your final disposition is determined, and it's safe. It doesn't matter if you live a long life or if you die unexpectedly before your time, because you have eternal life. As Paul explains in the epistle for today, what is sown like a seed that seems dead and inanimate, when sprouted or raised from the dead, it produces fruit and thereby is imperishable. For that fruit bears seed that will sprout and be raised and produce fruit and on and on. And in Christ, eternal goodness is given to you. God gives you the things of this world as a gift to be used by you and shared and gifted to others out of freedom, not out of compulsion. The glory of these material gifts is of one kind, but the glory that awaits you is of another kind. That glory is eternal and heavenly. The gifts of heaven and eternal life are those that are pressed down, shaken together, and running over in your lap. For you're measured not by what you do, but by what Christ has done for you. So now you have the freedom to give it all away, or keep it all, possess it all, or have nothing at all. It makes no difference. All of it. All of the wealth and stuff is nothing more than a gift. Things that will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. What is this world to me? It is nothing. It is nothing of value or worth. For if you have been bought by the Lord of glory with His own precious blood and His innocent suffering and death, regardless of the things that you have or you don't have, you do have the grace of God and all of the benefits of the cross. That's a promise. It's His last will and testament to you. So what then of the things of this world, if they are of no benefit to you since your salvation has already been won? Well, you might as well use them for the benefit of your neighbor, that he or she too might share in the eternal benefit of Christ. After all, you are most certainly loved and given good by God. Amen. And now the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till He returns again in glory. Amen.